Amen. If you'd stand to your feet one more time, John chapter 3. We're just going to honor God's word today. If you was in our class today, we talked about honor. John 3:16, we honor his word. Amen. John 3:16, most of you could quote it today. Amen. We're going to revisit a familiar verse. John 3:16, if you have it, would you say amen? Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Amen. I'd like to preach today, heaven's whoever policy. Amen. Heaven's whoever policy. This is one of those sermons, it's going to help all of us today. Because everybody's a whoever. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can promise you today, the goodness of God that you feel in this room today is present to heal. It's present to work. It's present to save today. If you have a need, God certainly has an answer today. I wonder if we could raise our hands one more time and just acknowledge him. And just ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, unlock this house with your glory. Unlock this hearts of your people. Let your spirit speak in this house. Let the love of God minister richly today. The anointing of the Lord minister to this place. To every person in the room, in Jesus' name be glorified. Everybody said amen. You may be seated today. Whosoever is better translated, whoever, in modern linguistics. Yet, whoever unfurls 3:16 is a banner for the ages. The word whoever unrolls the welcome mat of heaven to humanity. Whoever invites the world to God. Jesus could have so easily narrowed the scope, changing whoever into whatever. He could have said the phrase, whatever Jew believes or whatever woman follows me, but he chose no qualifier. The pronoun is wonderfully indefinite. After all, who's not a whoever? The word whoever sledgehammers racial fences and dynamite social classes. It bypasses gender borders and surpasses ancient traditions. Whoever makes it very clear that God exports his grace worldwide for those who attempt to restrict it. Jesus has a word, whoever. Hallelujah. Amen. The whoever policy is stated something like this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:39 says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Mark 3 said, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. John 3 goes on record, and Jesus would say, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. John 6, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 11, whoever lives and believes will never die. Amen. That's a good promise. And all the way in the back of the book in Revelation 22, the 17th verse, John would write, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. I've come to preach hope in this house. Amen. If you are a whoever, amen, God's got a plan for you. You ought to clap your hands this morning and thank God for heaven's whoever policy. Amen. God said, amen, he's got a plan for us. Hallelujah. Paul would write in 1 Timothy 2, Paul contended that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself to win the freedom for all mankind. Peter affirms it's not the will of God that any man be lost, but for all to come to repentance. God's gospel has a whoever policy. It's a powerful thing to consider that God wrote it into our narrative that we have a chance with him today for salvation. Amen. The Bible introduces to us a man known simply as Lazarus the beggar. We need to know this morning, the downturns of life can create such a sad state of affairs that we wonder if God still wants us. Surely Lazarus the beggar wondered the same. Jesus would tell us in Luke chapter 16 about a man that was kind of the contrarian position of the text. Luke 16 and 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The two men dwell opposite sides of the city tracks. The Bible said there was a rich man that lived in posh luxury, wears the finest clothing. Language suggests that he used fabric worth its weight in gold. He eats exotic food, enjoys a spacious home with botanical gardens. He's the New Testament version of a Monaco billionaire. Yet on the other side of the tracks is Lazarus, a homeless street sleeper. Dogs lick the sores that cavern his skin. He languishes outside the mansion, hoping for scraps. He's infected. He's rejected. He has no possessions. He has no family. Surely Lazarus is an exception to the whoever policy, right? You would be wrong. In sudden drama, the curtain of death falls on Act 1. And eternal destiny is revealed in the second act. Because the Bible said in the 22nd verse that time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died the same night and he was buried in hell. The Bible said in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes in torment and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Hear what I'm preaching. Amen. Just poor Lazarus now needs nothing. And now poor rich man needs everything. He loses the lap of luxury. He loses the strength of his riches. And Lazarus, oh, that beggar man Lazarus that life seemingly had forgotten, that Lazarus discovers the lap of Abraham. I've come to preach on a Sunday morning. Lazarus is still populate our planet. You may be one this morning, not begging for bread, but struggling to buy some. Not sleeping on streets, but perhaps the floor in somebody's house. Maybe you live in your car or a couch often. And you may ask yourself, does God have a place for people like me? I've come to preach to somebody today to remind them, amen, of all the messages that Luke 16 account conveys. Don't miss this message that God takes you however he finds you. There's no need to clean up or to climb up. He said just look up. Hallelujah. Amen. God's whoever policy has a however benefit. You ought to thank God. Amen. That there's a promise for a whoever. That's everybody in the room. But the greater promise is he'll take you however he finds you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only does God have a whoever policy, he's got a however benefit. Amen. But that policy extends a little further. Amen. To a whenever. There's another aspect we must consider. It's whenever. It wasn't long ago, I was cleaning out my vehicle, and I found a gift card to Chick-fil-A. And it was one of those, you know, free chicken sandwich kinds. Hallelujah. And I got real excited about that free chicken sandwich. Only to look that it had passed its expiration date. And so my joy was short-lived. However, it brings to bear the revelation that God's got promises for all of us. But they do have an expiration date. Hallelujah. The challenge for everybody in the room today is not to wait too long to respond to the whoever offer. Amen. John would write with power to Nicodemus, that questioning curiosity, a man of a spiritual leader in Israel. And as he began to talk to a man that was so concerned about what it meant to be born again of water and the Spirit, amen, after Jesus has about 15 verses of dialogue, amen, that he would respond to Jesus and ask this question in the 9th verse: how can these things be? How can a man that is old be born again in his mother's womb? Anybody remember that in the Bible? Amen. Jesus would walk him into step-by-step articulation until he gets into the 16th verse. He said, I want to lead you to the hope diamond of the Bible. You're asking how, amen, can my life change? You're asking me how can I get a rewrite in my life? You're talking forgiveness, Jesus. Amen. And my world only understands, amen, the muscle of self. Amen. I only understand how I can help myself. But you're talking new birth. Jesus, you're introducing a new life. Amen. And Jesus said, understand it this way: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've come to tell somebody the whoever policy is in effect, but you've got to realize I've got a responsibility. Amen. I've got to understand. Amen. The whoever is me. Amen. But the whenever is up to me. Hallelujah. God extends whoever, but I determine when I obey. I determine when I respond. Matthew chapter 20 gives us an example. Matthew 20, parable of the 11th hour worker, provides hope to every procrastinator. Because Matthew 20 gives us an example of Jesus. He gives a parable about a householder who goes to the marketplace, and the beautiful picture of a hiring agent. He goes in the morning. The Bible said at 6 a.m. he gets there, and there are people that are dutiful, that understand if I don't work, I don't eat. And they go to the market at 6 a.m., and he signs for a contract to work in the householder's vineyard. Anybody remember that? He hires them for a penny a day. And in the morning, those people are really happy that they got a job in the morning. But the Bible said that there was a group of people that came 3 hours later. The Bible never says that the householder left the marketplace. He's still there, but here comes this group that hit the snooze button. It's okay to smile. They hit the snooze button. You know, it was summer break, whatever it is. They come 3 hours late, and he still hires them. Hallelujah. But even the greater, I think probably the greater message is they got hired for the same contract. They agreed for a penny a day. So now they're going to go work 9 hours. Here comes a group that's middle of the day. It's noon. He's still hiring. Here's the grace of the text. He hires them for the same wage, a penny a day. And the Bible said he keeps doing that until the 11th hour. And at the 11th hour, here comes these lazy people, these procrastinating people. I don't know why they were late, but they just arrived at some, I don't know if it was hunger. I don't know what provoked them that they looked at each other knowing there's only 1 hour left in the working day. Hey, we better go get some work done. And they go show up, and guess what? There's a hiring agent that's still in the marketplace, amen, that's still hiring. What I'm trying to preach to you is that there's a whenever that you're responsible for. I thank God for people that's been in church for 50 years. I thank God for people who came, amen, to an altar and got an agreement with God, and they got into the contract of blood, water, and spirit. I thank God for people who came and repented of sin, got in water, amen, got baptized in his name, were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they got the reward of a penny a day. Amen. But I also want to tell you the power of the text. Amen. Is that the message never lost strength. No matter how long the day got, the grace was still extended to those that allowed life to delay their journey. He said, I want you to realize that the reward is the same to the 11th hour worker as the man who got up when the sun rose. I want to tell you there's hope in this house for the whoever, but you're the one that decides when. So the question is when should I respond? Whenever the Spirit moves on you. My pastor always told me, he said, you should always have great respect for the Word of God. He said, but the Word of God is not the most important part of the service. He said, the most important part of the service is when God moves. He said, Jeremy, if God moves in the worship service, that's the most important part. He said, if God moves in the preaching, that's the most important part. If God moves in the altar, that's the most important part. He said, the most important part is when God interrupts the service. If God interrupts an offering, that's the most important part. I'm preaching to somebody right now. God said, you're a whoever. God said, you're in my plan. God said, I'm going to die, amen, for your sin. But you've got to decide when you want to sign the contract. You are the one that decides when the benefit is released. So you have a whoever policy that finds a Lazarus however he is. You have a however that's released to a whenever. I want to preach about the wherever. Growing up, my mother was an insurance agent. And so it was not uncommon for me as a child to be sitting at a restaurant or at the ballpark or somewhere in public, and somebody would say, my mother's name was Kathy. Say, Kathy, tell me about my policy. We'd be doing, you know, family things. And can you tell me about my policy? And she'd stop what we're doing and explain the policy to somebody. And I grew up with this as a norm. So what I'm preaching about is kind of through experience, is that I know there's some policies that are in effect. And some policies have got unwritten benefits. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said, amen, whoever believes on me. If you can believe on me, amen, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever's got a policy, and the benefit is to however he finds you. It's whenever you say yes. But I want to preach to the prodigal right now. The Bible said there's a wherever. There's a wherever benefit. Amen. Whoever means wherever. And wherever you are, you're not too far to come home. In Luke chapter 15, verse 13, the prodigal son, amen, the Bible said, he spurned his father's kindness and journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The Bible talks about a man that walked away. He wasted his inheritance, he wasted his purpose, and wasted his years. Wherever you are, you're not too far to come home. Oftentimes, I'm preaching right now, oftentimes it's the elements of wasted opportunities that haunt the most. People with potential to do good that waste that potential, they must find a special grace to overcome their pride and return home. The Bible said, whoever, wherever. It's a powerful policy. To consider from a pig farm to the Father's mansion, that's quite a trip. But I've come to tell somebody, God can do that for you today. See, too quickly we sanitize the prodigal son. I read to you just moments ago, I read to you that the prodigal journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That's the New King James Version. I want you to consider with me just for a moment. In a day where there was no newspaper or telephones or email, there was no radio, there was no text messaging. How sinful do you have to be in another country for word to get back to your father? The Bible didn't say he went to the next city. He was in another country. You processing with me right now? I think too quickly we sanitize that maybe, you know, maybe the prodigal, he partied a little bit too much. He might have had too many girlfriends. No. The Bible said he wasted. He threw it away. If you do a word study on wasted, it's like he threw it on the ground. He threw it away. He threw it away. Amen. It was more than just a few party nights. It was more than a weekend in Vegas. He wasted all the prodigal substance, or all the father's substance. And I think we too quickly sanitize the prodigal. We're talking about a man who famously sinned. How do I know that? Because the Bible said that when he comes home, his elder brother had a real problem with dad throwing a party for him because he said, don't you know what he's done to embarrass this house? I believe that's more than just a few raucous nights away from town. No, he sinned to the uttermost. I think you've got to capture that to appreciate the grace I'm about to preach to you about. Because the Bible said in the middle of all of that sin, in the middle of all of that, the Bible said that after some time had expired and he had wasted his substance and now he's in a famine in a strange land, the Bible said he finds himself in a pig pen. And the Bible said he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of pigs. The word fain means he wished he could have. He couldn't even do that. He was so broke he couldn't even eat pig food. You with me? That's when it's bad. It's bad to be hungry, but you can't even eat what pigs eat. He couldn't even digest it. He couldn't get to it. And the Bible said when he was in that position of hunger, he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said these words, I'm no more worthy to be called my father's son. So he said, Lord, I'm just going to ask Dad to make me as a servant. Is it possible to let sin break you down to such a degree that you have to say, Lord, make me a servant? Sonship is off the table. Make me a servant. I'm so broken. Did anybody ever question why is the first thing that the father do is put a robe on him? It's because he was naked. He had lost his coat a long time ago. He had lost everything that resembled the house. He no longer resembled a church kid. He didn't resemble the father in any capacity. He looked like where he came from. He looked like a man that came out of the... He didn't stop and take a bath. He didn't stop and buy new clothes where he came home. Are you hearing what I'm preaching? He's in a hog pen in sin. He comes to himself and he says that the people, the servants in my dad's house do better than I. I will arise and go to my father. Can I preach in this room right now, amen, that you could recognize that the prodigal did not say, I will arise and go to my father's house. I will arise and go to my father. Why does he say that? Luke 15, study it out. I will arise and go to my father. Amen. I'm trying to preach to somebody, amen, that you would step away from just being in a broken condition. Amen. The purpose of preaching today is to get somebody to arise. I'm trying to preach somebody out of a pit. I'm trying to preach somebody, amen, out of self-loathing. I'm trying to help somebody realize that you're a whoever. Amen. That you're not so far gone that our loving God's eyes can't find you where you're at. I'm trying to preach you to your feet. I'm trying to preach you into a motion of repentance today that gets you out of that strange land and gets you back in the Father's house. Yeah, I will arise and go to my Father. Why does he say I'll go to my Father? Because he knows my dad will forgive. My dad will love me, even if the house won't. I just said something right there. I will go to my father. I'm not real sure my brother's going to accept what I've done, but I'll go to daddy because I know that my father, there's mercy in my daddy. There's strength in my daddy. There's life in my father. Amen. I will go to my father. I'm not real sure the house is ready to receive what the father is ready to forgive, but I will arise and go to my father. I feel like preaching to somebody, just rise and go to your father. I'm not asking you to be Pentecostal today. I'm asking you to go to your father. Let me qualify what I'm preaching. We've got a lot of people that will come into our services, amen, and they just want to fellowship the Father. They like our songs. They like our preaching. They may even like you, amen, but they're not ready to join the church yet because we just got to get them connected to the Father first. Because if I don't get them connected to the Father, amen, all of our other stuff don't really matter. That's why the prodigal said, I just came here to worship God. I don't understand your standards. I don't understand your church membership protocols, but what I did do,
as I came to get out of my pit and get in fellowship with the Father. And if I can fall in love with the Father, the house will deal with the rest. Is that good preaching? Now watch what happens. He says, this is my speech to my dad. See, I've got to get my speech right. Do you know how many prodigals probably rehearse what they're going to say before they get here? Let's just be honest. Shame on us for making them feel like they got to put their game face on before they come to worship the Father. Because there's a whoever policy. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for the long-time servant, and it's for the faraway servant. Amen. Whoever, whoever, whoever. It belongs to the whoever, wherever. I'm preaching to a wherever prodigal. You may be watching online. I'm preaching wherever you're at, that there is a Father that'll meet you in this house. There's a Father that will forgive your sin. But here's what he says. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. So make me a servant. There it is. I'm not worthy. Now, preaching has taught me something. Preaching has taught me that everybody deals with the worth factor. Everybody. In other words, if I prayed good this week, man, I believe that God can heal me. If I read my Bible real good this week and I behaved well this week, then maybe God will answer my prayer this week. But if I didn't do well this week, I don't feel worthy. We may not come up to the front to worship because we don't feel worthy. You're looking at me real strange right now, but I'm in the Holy Ghost. Because the prodigal said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so just make me as a servant. Because, see, Jesus is talking to, in Luke 15, Jesus is talking to Pharisees and sinners in the same crowd. When Jesus starts talking about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son, the sinners are going, yay, I like this rabbi. He's telling me that there's room for me. But in the same crowd, the Pharisees don't like this rabbi. Because he's talking about grace, and grace is not something you can control. Because you can't earn grace. So what Jesus puts into the narrative is you've got a guy that knows truth, walked away from truth, and here's what he says in his mind before he gets to his father. He says, I'm no longer to be called a son, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, so just make me as a servant. What he's really trying to say is let me earn it back. I'm going to preach. Can I get down here? He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So, in other words, I spent all my inheritance living like a devil. So let me be a servant and earn my way back. Now, I know you guys are way too spiritual up here in Northern Indiana, but those Southern Indiana people I preach to, sometimes they get this idea of grace that I've got to earn it. But that's not grace. You can't earn grace. It's unmerited favor. You can't earn what I'm preaching. You can only believe for it. And if you believe for it, you can have it. I'm preaching to somebody in the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to help you understand that the request that the prodigal's having in his mind is not biblical. Because he's making it harder than it really should be. So the Bible said he prepares a speech that says, I'm no longer worthy. So make me a servant, because in my mind, I've got to earn it back. And if we're not careful in Pentecost, we'll tell people God can't use you until you do this. And what we're doing is we're teaching them how to earn salvation. That's not how it works. We're saved by grace through faith. I'm in my Bible. You're saved by grace through faith. So if I believe on a loving God, I believe on a faith-filled God, then I have access to everything the Father wants to give me by faith. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by the cross. So this is the conversation that predates the meeting of the Father. The Bible said, so he arises, he starts leaving that foreign country, he starts making his way back to daddy's house, and the Bible said, before he even made it home, his father saw him a great way off and ran to him. Because whoever policy applies to wherever you are, that means it don't just have to happen in this house. Amen. There's a God that can save somebody in a bar. There's a God that can save somebody in an alleyway. I have an uncle that was raised in this truth. His daddy was a pastor. Amen. He was raised in apostolic truth, and he respected the truth, but made his own decisions and left truth. But one day, amen, he began to remember the things of God, and the Spirit of God got in his car. I'm telling you the truth. He pulled over the side of the car, prayed through to the Holy Ghost on the shoulder of a highway. He called his mother, who was 97 years old. He said, Mama, I just prayed back through to the Holy Ghost. I turned on some worship music, and the Lord met me in the car, and I've come to tell you, I'm back in church, Mama. I've come to tell somebody the Father can meet you wherever you're at on the road. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. It's a long way from the pig pen to daddy's house, but daddy wasn't restrained to the house. He come running when he saw the prodigal moving in the direction. I feel God in this house. Somebody clap your hands and worship him. I'm talking about a whoever policy. Wherever you are. Wherever you are on the journey. There is a whoever God. So watch this. The Bible says, the Father meets the prodigal on the road and has compassion on him, and he kisses his neck, and he embraces him. And here comes the son's speech. His sin did not prevent heaven's embrace. With daddy's arms wrapped around him, daddy kissing his cheek and neck, the boy felt emboldened to say, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. But that doctrine didn't fly with the father. He looks at him and he said, Son, you're forgiven. The prodigal, he said, Daddy, I've sinned before God and before you. Forgive me for my sins. The father forgave him on the road right there. And then he proceeds to tell him, I'm no longer worthy. And the father just stopped him. And he said, before you get into your speech, he told the house, house, bring a robe. House, bring a ring. House, bring shoes for his feet. Hey, house, go kill the fatted calf. We're about to have a party. In other words, what he was telling the boy, amen, you never had a seat at my table because you were worth it. Amen, you had a seat at my table because you're my son. In other words, you have access to me because of your birth, not because of your worth. And that's why, Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the spirit, because if you're birthed in it, now you've got the worth. Come on, somebody, if you've been to the water, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, the whoever applies to the wherever, you've got the power of the loving God of heaven that wants to bless your soul. It's not your worth, it's your birth. That's why when I'm born again, I've got water and spirit. I've got a whoever policy in effect for me. Because he's working to save me. We lose a lot in life. We lose sobriety, solvency, sometimes sanity. We lose jobs. We lose chances. Sometimes we lose it, love. We lose youth and its vigor. idealism and dreams, we lose much. But hear me when I preach. We never lose our place on God's whoever list. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm preaching to the whoever today. I feel God. John 3:16, whoever that believes in him. I preach whoever, however you are, whenever you respond, wherever he finds you, that God is waiting to bless you with eternal life, whoever you are. It's the policy that you control. Whoever is God's offer, whenever is my response. And today I'm preaching. Would you respond? Today I'm preaching. Are you a whoever that needs forgiveness? Are you a whoever that needs a hand up? Are you a whoever that needs God to do something special in your life? I've come to point you to the one who can. He said, whoever that believeth. Whoever that everything hinges on the word believe. Whoever, that's me. What do I have to do? I got to believe. I've got to believe. If I believe on him, as the scripture has said, out of my belly is going to flow rivers of living water. Amen. I close with this. Music can come. The whoever offer is God, but the choice is mine. Just before Jesus delivered 3:16 offer, he references an Old Testament event that he knew Nicodemus would understand. The audience of this sermon is Nicodemus. Nicodemus is that Pharisee. Nicodemus is that student of the law. He is well trained in the law of Moses. And he comes by fear and cover of night, because it wasn't popular to believe on Jesus in the daytime. He came at night. And Jesus gives him a little window in how this works. He said, do you remember in the desert when the people of God, this is in John 3:14 and 3:15. He said, do you remember in the desert when Moses told, or God told Moses to make a brazen serpent? Do you remember when the people of God disobeyed and God sent fiery serpents in among them? And those fiery means they were poisonous. Those poisonous serpents were biting the people of God who were disobedient, and they were dying because of their rebellion. Remember that? He said, do you remember what the remedy was? The remedy was the people said, pray, Moses, that God would remove the snakes. Anybody remember that? But God didn't remove the snake. He instead told Moses, make a snake. Is that unusual? God, I really need trouble to get out of my life. And God didn't remove trouble. He just provided a remedy. He said, make a snake. Make it of brazen. Make it out of brass. Fashion it. Beat that snake into shape. And lift it up on a pole. And he said, you tell the people, if they will look at the brazen serpent, they will live. He said, if you will look, you will live. Even if I'm bitten with poison, I got a fever on my brow. If you look, you will live. Is that what the book says? Jesus said, that's what I'm preaching about. Nicodemus, I'm telling you, if you will just believe, if you'll just look and believe, that's how salvation works. If you'll just believe. And so this became the sign of Messiah. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what was he talking about? Like Moses' serpent, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. In other words, just like Moses beat that brazen serpent into figure, amen, they were going to put Christ on a cross, and they were going to beat him, amen, on that cross, and they were going to nail spikes into his hands and spikes into his feet. He said, I'm telling you what's going to save you is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever that can look and believe will live. So I'm preaching. Can you see him today? Did Jesus die for your sin? Did Jesus die for your peace and your healing and your mercy and your welfare? If I'm preaching to you, would you stand to your feet? If you'll just say, I'm a whoever today. And there's a policy in heaven that if I will believe, it releases God to work. Whoever believeth should not. Didn't say he would not. It said should not. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever is God's policy. It's extended to you. But you decide when you're going to respond. Today is the day of salvation. Today, however he finds you, wherever you are, just believe. Would you raise your hands all over this house? Come on, I feel God in this room right now. I'm talking to somebody. Come on, we don't have to be screaming and running in the aisles to receive of God. It just takes belief. If I have faith, come on, I need somebody to just use your faith. Faith. Whoever that believeth on him. It's the key to salvation. It's the key to healing. It's the key to deliverance. Before I make my final appeal, listen to me. All of us in this room have already expressed faith in the unseen today. Everybody sat in chairs today that you believe would support you from falling to the ground. I would dare say a great majority of you flipped on a light switch in your house before you got up this morning and came to church in full confidence that electricity was going to work in your on your behalf. If you haven't yet, you will before the end of the day. You're going to eat food that's going to provide nutrition to your body. That when you eat it, a chemical process is going to ensue in your body, and you will benefit from something you can't see. We have faith in that, don't we? How many can just believe that God loves me enough to not let me go to hell? God loves me enough to not let me leave here sick. God, he loves me enough. I don't have to leave here in poverty. He loves me enough. He can meet me where I live. If I'm preaching to the whoever, would you come to this altar right now? Would somebody just express faith? If you'll believe, God will do the rest. Come on. If you'll believe, God will do the rest. If you'll just believe, God will do the rest. Come on. Come believing. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my way maker. He's my provider. He's going to meet me. I believe in the love of God. Come on, come on. Make room. Come on. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost belongs to you. The Spirit of God fall on you. Healing belongs to you. Power of God, if I can believe. Raise your hands. Call on him. Lift up your voice. Make room. In the name of Jesus. Just believe. Just believe. I believe. If you're the whoever, come on, there's healing in this place right now. If you can believe, it will release his hand. Come on, there's a strength of the Holy Ghost right here. I believe there's provision in this house. There's a sweet flow of the Spirit of God. The spirit man's going to be full today. My mind's going to leave here with promise in its spirit. I'm going to know that the Lord is with me today. The angels of the Lord are in this room. If I can get my faith to the place that releases the Father in my life, you'll leave here full. Come on, would you raise your hands one more time and worship? Would you honor his name? I want you to sing with faith. Don't just sing out of tradition. Sing by faith. I know his goodness is getting ready to touch my life. I know his goodness is going to bless my generations. His goodness is going to break every generational curse. His goodness is going to bless my children. His goodness is going to bless my children's children. I'm going to leave here healed, filled with the Holy Ghost. Power of God be to you. The power of God flow to you. Hallelujah. Where it's appropriate, when I use that word, maybe a gentleman with a gentleman, a lady with a lady, would you just take somebody by the hand and just begin to pray for them? Let the body minister to the body for just a moment. There's just such a sweet touch of God. Come on, I believe that these signs shall follow them that believe. Come on, these signs shall follow them that believe. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I pray against eye disease. I pray against diabetes. I pray against joint pain. I pray against physical ailments that are persistent. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus touch you. The power of God heal you. The glory of God set you free. In Jesus' name. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody speak in the name of Jesus. Declare the power of God. Come on, the Holy Ghost belongs to you. Let the gift of God be stirred up. Speak with a new tongue. Pray till you feel the joy of the Lord. Pray till you feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. I'm a whoever. God loves me. I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm born of His Spirit. I bear His name. Come on, act like a child of promise. Come on, worship like you're a child of promise. Come on, believe God right now like you're getting a breakthrough. Come on, worship God like right now, like heaven's coming in your favor. Come on, somebody, believe God right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Believe God to do something supernatural. Somebody worship Him with your whole heart. Somebody call on His name. Somebody press a little bit further than your flesh and let the Holy Ghost flow. Be healed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Sing something that's got a little bump to it. Sing something that's got a little joy to it. Hallelujah. Well, it's Sunday morning, and we're not going to close out of here without some joy. Amen. The praise team's going to help me. I wonder what would happen if we just honored God with a shout. Honored God with a praise. I want somebody just to square your shoulders and look hell right in the eye and tell them, I learned something today. I'm in the whoever policy, and God's got His eyes on me. It doesn't matter however He finds me. Wherever I go, there's a God that forgives, and there's a God that redeems, and there's a God that blesses those that will call on His name. Somebody shout, He did it. Oh, He did it. I feel God in this room. He did it. Come on, He forgave us our sins. When we were buried in water, He washed our sin away. When we came out of that water, we got the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. He did it. How many times has God paid the bill? How many times has God healed your body? How many times has God came through? How many times has the love of God benefited you? Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. If you're in this house and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, today's a good day to get baptized. Amen. If you want to wait and talk to Pastor, I understand that. But don't delay. Obey God. Fulfill heaven's whoever policy. And let the benefits touch your life. Have we had a good time today? Come on, have we had a good time today? Hallelujah. Amen. Remember when Pastor and Sister Chandler and their family comes back, honor them. Honor them. I mean, it'd be good if somebody just brought her some flowers just for no reason. Say, I love you, Sister Chandler. God bless you. Maybe it might be a good idea when Pastor comes and say, you know what? We enjoy your preaching. We've missed your preaching the last 2 weeks so much. Here's a gift card. Go have dinner on us. He said, oh, preacher, what are you doing? I'm telling you, if you honor God's man, God will honor you. Amen, because there's nothing that you give that don't come back. Is that what the book says? If you give, it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Matter of fact, I got a book that says, whatever you give, it comes back to the giver more. Amen, let's leave this house blessing people. Amen, inviting them to the house of God. Have a great Sunday.